A lot of times we want to be used by God, but we don't know exactly how to do what he wants. And because I bring this up mainly because missions is all about involvement. You know, we come to church all the time and we worship the Lord. We remember learning about him and how the internal need of getting rid of our sin needed to take place. And we learned how to be saved. And we came and knelt and God saved us. And he came into our heart. And we were all fired up and because we were brand new. We were no different than little Norma. We were brand new people. And we wanted to live for God. But we didn't really know how to do that yet. You know, When we come to him, our sins are forgiven, and we're very much a brand new person. But how do we live from there on? And so we learn all about those things in church, and even our youth, they learn about a lot of these things in youth groups and in Sunday school. And in Sunday school, we get to ask the questions of the teachers, and we learn through the lessons about all about the Bible and everything that was. But now to go forward into what is, what do we do next? And, you know, I've just finished a book, and it's about planting churches. And now I'm all fired about wanting to plant churches. But I don't know how to do that because I've never done it. And it takes one foot after another. And so, but there's another book out there that is a book on anti-gravity. Have you seen any books on anti-gravity? I've got one. I can't put it down. Sorry. I've got this new thing out here. On the cell phone, and I just learned how to use Siri, and I can say, well, I better not say it because she'll say something. But I'll call her and say, "Tell me a joke," and I get to learn a new joke for the day, and that unfortunately happened to be the latest one. But we learn how to do something new. Why did I learn how to do that? Because I got a new job recently where I'm a prep cook for my second job other than being a pastor. And everybody was saying they call out their phone and set the timer for. Because they put something in the oven and they need to make sure it's timed. And they talk to their phones. And I want to know how to do that. And so I learned. I picked up the phone. I had somebody show me and I learned. And that's something new. Missions is where you can take all that you've learned and apply it. You can be used by God to take what you've learned and use it. And that's what I'm excited about. I love missions. You know, it's interesting. When I was young, I got a chance to be on the church board because they had elected me as president for missions. And I learned a little bit about the board. And later on, I wanted to be on the board again, but they had filled the position for NYI president. And so, well, Phil wants to be involved. We'll just put him in missions. We'll just hide him away a little bit. We know what he's like. And he's too excited he's uncontrollable. So we'll put him in missions. You know what they were doing? They were being the hand of God. Because they put me in a place where I could learn all about missions and be involved. And that's exactly what I wanted to do. And so I did that. You know, there was a lady in our church who was the president for missions, and she recognized that I wanted to be involved, and she came up to me and said, "Phil, would you like to do the study? Here's the book. You just go and do what it says. Here's the story." And so I said, "I'd love to." But I didn't exactly know what to do. And what do you do when you don't know what to do? You get other people involved. So you can widen the blame base when it doesn't work right. And the pastor's son at the time, his name was Bobby, he and I got together and we started to look down the, and we said, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Well, there was a show on TV at the time called Miami Vice. How many remember Miami Vice? There's a few hands that go up. It was a show down in Florida about a couple of policemen that one was white and the other one was black. And the white guy's name was Don Johnson. You know Don Johnson, some of you. Going back before young people's time again. I'm a little older. And there was another man, a black man. I forget his name, but their show names were Cracker and Tubbs. And so we said, why don't we do kind of a parody or something about Miami Vice, only we'll call it Missionary Vice. And we started to put our heads together. And in doing this, we started to read down through the materials, and we in reality began to learn about missions, and we didn't realize that we were learning a lot about missions. We were just trying to fulfill a requirement we'd been asked to do and have a little fun with it. And we took and made a cardboard car. And you know how the Flintstones, you know, would hold up their car and run around? Well, that's what we did. We opened the back of the church when it came time for the study, and in come these two characters in a cardboard car, right down, and the whole place erupts in laughter and cheers and stuff. And we set it up front, and we climb out of our car, and I was dressed in a white blazer and white pants and everything like Don Johnson was. And Bob, who did something that I kind of shouldn't have done, he had blackface. And had a black suit on and all the rest of that. And I was Cracker and he was Tubbs instead of, or Tubbs. Cracker and only it was, instead of Crockett and Tubbs, it was Cracker and Tubbs. And we did some crazy things like this. And it was fun. And it was exciting. And what happened, because a couple young people did it and did it well, they asked them to do it again. And because we wanted to do something and learn, we got involved. And in the process of being involved in missions, missions began to settle in my heart. And I wanted to learn more and more and more. And we did spots, different shows on Star Trek. We did all sorts of different things. And it turned out that the missions program was the most heavily attended service of the month. Because a couple kids had been given a chance to use their creative abilities. I'm also here today to try to get some young people involved in missions. That's one of our deepest desires. If we don't have young people involved in missions, if we don't have young people involved in the church, what's going to happen to the church? It's going to die. We need to get young people involved. And one thing I'm thinking about right now as I even sat here is how can we get them involved? They love computers. Could you imagine, and maybe this might put a thought in your head, who knows? Could you imagine a room here in the church where you have a lot of computers set up and you in your missions night, you can have probably stuff projected up on the wall and the kids could go on to the mission site and see what it's all about. Lots of things can be done today in regards to missions. It's a new day and time. Back when one of the top five areas of impact in Nazarene Missions International is the World Evangelism Fund and raising funds for that. Let me take you back in a little bit of history. In order to fund the Church of the Nazarene, in order to fund missionaries on the field, the World Evangelism Fund was formed. Didn't begin as that. It began as something else, but you don't need to understand. And if you want to, there's a historical statement in the church. You can go back and study that if you want to in the manual. But there was a way of raising monies to support the Church of the Nazarene and ways of money, and it was called the World Evangelism Fund. And I know in my time, it was done by raising money through missions. And missions would have this goal in the church, and they would try to achieve that goal every single year and give to missions. And it became more and more. Every year you passed that goal, it was made bigger and bigger and bigger until it became somewhat almost insurmountable. But it was a great rally and a great cry when you were able to accomplish that. And the World Evangelism Fund and accomplishing that was done through a number of ways. It was in faith promise and the Easter offering for world evangelism, or the Thanksgiving offering for world evangelism, and all these different ways came about. And we were involved, and it seems like if you start something in the Church of the Nazarene, it never ends. And so we raised the money that way, but then we have learned how, a different way of doing it recently, and that was to just give it to the church, and 5.5% of the base income that comes in is going to go take care of World Evangelism Fund. And all of a sudden, we didn't need to have Faith Promise anymore. And we didn't need to do our Easter and Thanksgiving offerings anymore. But we did them anyway, because we'd always done them. It's crazy when that becomes the focal point. And now missions is a brand new, giving brand new birth to how we do church. Because people have kind of rejected all of that. We've had to call missionaries back off the field because we don't have enough monies. We had to restructure a lot of things in Kansas City and Lenexa, where we send all of our money for the church, because things have changed. And we're scratching our heads, and where do we go from here? I don't think God intended for it to be that way, where it becomes this ginormous elephant where we can never feed it enough. But the desire still remains in people's hearts to serve God and to live for Him. And how do we do that? A lot of churches have ended having their mission services in churches. They went to missions moments, and a lot of those moments have gone by the wayside as well. And how do we do missions? The first top five area of impact in Nazarene missions is prayer. How do we do missions? You begin on your knees. You begin by saying, God, what do you want? That's really the beginnings of missions. We don't do things the way we used to anymore. And I'm saying, praise God. Why do I say that? Because things are dying off? No, because we have to really become dependent on a holy God to show us what He wants, instead of presenting to Him what we want. Now, what they did way back then wasn't wrong. They were presented with a problem, they figured out how to do it, and they did it. But God wants us to not be so focused on the programs that we lose our dependency and our sight of Him, the author and perfecter of our faith. Amen? Amen. I want you to go with me to Zacchaeus. I'm going to use my phone. Zacchaeus is in Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, starting in verse 1. I'm going to use the New International Version. I don't know how many of you enjoy the Bible on your phones, but I use BibleHub.com, and it gives you all the versions. It gives you lots of commentaries. It gives you all sorts of different things that you can find. BibleHub.com, and just use that website. You can get any Bible you want. Starting at verse 1, this is Zacchaeus, the tax collector. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, Come down immediately, for I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Heavenly Father, teach us from your word right now at this point in time. Amen. Jesus knew his heart. Jesus knew what was deep down inside and what needed to be dealt with. Jesus knew that he wasn't just offering lip service. He wasn't just trying to quiet the crowd down because the crowd knew who he was. No, the reality is God came into his life at that point. He knew it was Jesus. Jesus knew his heart. Jesus knew what needed to be done and dealt with down deep inside. And so Jesus gave testimony of this man. This man told everybody he was going to give back and pay back four times the amount. And I'm sure there were a lot of people that said, "Oh, sure you are." Probably sarcastic and cynical. They said, "There's no way you're going to give up your money. That's where your heart is." But Jesus knew the man's heart. Jesus knew what he wanted to do. And he wanted to be clean. He recognized because he was before, Zacchaeus recognized because he was before a holy God that there were things that he needed to deal with in his life. And he immediately began to set out to deal with what was most prominent. And he told the Lord what he was going to do. Did Jesus say, "No, you can't possibly do that"? No. Jesus just gave testimony of what this man wanted to do. So what do you want to do today? That's a good question. Jamie's been given a spot to do the missions work. I would love to ask her how she happened to be asked to do that, but I don't want to really hear the response. But because sometimes we get roped into things. But one thing I know this young lady knows how to do, it's make a victory curl. Do you all know what a victory curl is? Does anybody not know what a victory curl is? Well, you don't pick her up on live stream. That's the problem. She does these curls up in her hair. And I've seen them. And I get a kick out of it. Why? I don't know. She's a lady with pink hair. And I love it. You might think I look a little strange. Phil, what genetic characteristic did it give you to have a brown beard and white sideburns? That's called Sally's hair products. And I have a little fun with that. There's a lot of kids that I work with that I want to lead to the Lord. And sometimes you enter into their world. The Apostle Paul says, "I become all things to all men so that I might win some." I don't become a sinner I don't sin to win the sinners. But if I put a little hair color in, what's that going to hurt? There's a kid that came in, and his name was Lucas. I used to work with him. He moved on, but his name was Lucas, and he wore what's called drag makeup. His face, he dressed like all the rest of us, but his face and his hair were different colors and different, and he didn't want to do anything with Christians because they judged him so much, and even more so because I was a minister, he hated me even more. And I never even met the kid. But Lord, how can I reach him? And I felt the Lord just say, just love him. Just be there for him. Talk with him. Find out what he likes. And so I did. And he kind of was distant at first. And I would tell him, you know, he would come in with his hair, and in reality, it was well done. And instead of telling him what I felt because of my Christianity, instead I said, you know, that's fantastic. That looks great. How did you do that? And he knew I really was interested. People will spot a phony a mile away. But I just started to love him. And he would explain to me what he did. And I said, you know, I've always thought about putting a little bit of Hunter Orange, because I like to go hunting. And we can have a little fun with that. Well, be careful what you tell people. He brought me a color of a tube of Hunter Orange. Oh, now I've gone and done it. What am I going to do? A challenge, a gauntlet had been laid down. And I went home and I thought about what I would like to do. And I came up with some different idea. And I would come back, and day after day, he would say, when are you going to do it? 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 And eventually, I came in one day, and I had taken and put some, I'd gone out and bought the stuff, some purple and blue and green. And he was shocked. Not only was he shocked, but everybody else was shocked. I was shocked. When I did it at home and I was on my way to work, I was laughing and saying, Lord, what am I doing? I'm supposed to be a 60-year-old guy leading people to the Lord in church, and the only way I knew how to do it was the way we used to do it. And that didn't work. When I said to the Lord, what am I doing? I was laughing, but I was almost crying because it was difficult to do. Wait a second, you're a pastor, you're supposed to know what you're supposed to do. No, you don't. I'm figuring out just like everybody else. And I went to work that I was scared to go inside. But when I asked the Lord, what am I doing? He gave me a vision of Lucas. And instantly I got it. You're doing this because you love somebody. And you want them to understand the love of Jesus. The love of God. What he has for you. What he wants of you. How do I do Christianity? You just love people. And I went in, and he was amazed that I'd even done it. And convention was coming up. And I couldn't get this stuff out of my hair. And so I went with it. I went with it to convention, and that's opened up a lot of doors, and it's opened up a lot of thoughts and a lot of things. As missions president for the district of New England, I was up there in front of everybody, sometimes feeling like a fool. And it was a growth moment. Because it wasn't so much the people at the convention that I loved. It was the people that didn't know God. And I'm trying my best to reach them. And how do I do it? How do we do missions? I haven't got a clue. I know everything we've used to do. But I want to go on work and witness trips. I want to go on Jesus film trips. I'd like to work for Nazarene Compassionate Ministries, and I love taking boxes of your PAL packs, which I'm excited. I went on the website for the church here, and I saw instantly you had the PAL packs there. Yes! Because that's what we know how to do and know how to do it well. But the PAL packs are absolutely nothing, of no value. Neither are the crisis care kits or the clothing that we give out if we don't give it out in the love of God. Amen? Amen? And how do we do that? We become vulnerable. We step out of our comfort zones. We go where no man has gone before. Because that's where God wants us. I'm passionate about missions because I'm passionate about God. I do crazy things in my life, and you can too. If you'll just let him lead. I know you've all got busy, busy, busy lives. You know, and when I talk about different things and events, and I know that Phyllis was here, and when we wanted to do a jamboree up in this area, and she struggled with that, praise God. And she did a beautiful job, and I came on up once when you had just kids around in a circle, and or maybe you sent pictures. I vaguely remember all of that, but she just had a few kids, and she felt bad about it. Praise God, you had a few kids. We don't have any kids in Leicester. We're trying to get them. But the church still hangs on to everything that was the old way. And it's not working. But we're still going to hang on to it and make it work. No, it's not going to work. But we're still going to hang on to it. Stop. God needs to direct you. You've got soccer. I hear you've got like soccer this time of year, and a lot of times you can't get moms and dads out because they're or kids to things because they're having soccer programs. You know what? Moms and dads love their kids so much that they're at soccer games with them. Praise God. So you work around that, but you help them to understand that God needs to really help you to understand the love for your children because of his great love for you. And somehow, through prayer, he gives us challenges and ways to do things that are beyond the way that we've always done them. And we're scared. That's okay. There were a couple kids that came to... Well, let me back up a little bit. We had a missions meeting at Eastern Nazarene College of the council, the district council. God gave me a challenge that I gave to them. I said, next time we meet, I want you to bring a millennial. They don't like to be labeled. Okay, bring somebody of the millennial mindset. And bring them. And have them come and share with us. And they're saying, what are you doing? That's not the way we do meetings. That's exactly right. And so, because God put the challenge, I didn't have a clue as to what it's going to do. But God knew. And so we invited them. And they came. And they were out of the 20-plus council members, they brought 3. Praise God. I wish they had brought more. But we didn't really need more, and I didn't know that. God brought 3. And we asked them to share if any one of them had a vision. There was this young girl by the name of Juliana, and she was from the Springfield, Mass area. And she was going to be going into college in the fall. And she loved the game of soccer. And she got up and said, I'm glad that you asked, because I've been given a vision by the God, and I don't know how to do it, to go to Haiti and not just teach kids soccer, because they could probably teach me a lot more than I know, because that's their national sport. But to go there and to play soccer with them and tell them about Jesus. You could have heard a pin drop in the room. All of the council members, huh? And this girl shared her entire vision. There were also 2 other kids that came, one by the name of Justin and the other one by the name of Emily. Justin Wenners was also from, I'm not sure which church, I believe it was Springfield. Emily was from the Lowell Church of the Nazarene. Her name was Emily Metcalf, and she had worked at the camp and all the rest of it. They came as well, and they heard this, and all of a sudden those 2 started popping up with ideas. And Justin, we have since made the kind of the youth, overseeing the youth on missions. We didn't really define it exactly what it needs to be. He'll do that. And because he knows the kids. And Emily knew the kids from camp. And so they started putting their heads together, and they started coming up with ideas. And the council did what they know how to do. They had the funds. And they knew how to put the ideas and the funds together. And so we commissioned a work and witness trip right at that point, to begin the process of setting it up and getting the plane tickets and getting all the rest of the kids that we're going to need from the district and chaperones to go as well. And a year later, we sent a group of kids down to Haiti to a pastor of the Church of the Nazarene down there. And they had kids from the neighborhood come in. We worked with the soccer balls that the Jesus Film wanted to supply soccer balls, but they weren't the right kind. A lot of times they don't have the same things that we have here where you lose air in a ball. You can just take and pump it back up. You know, with what we got, we can fix things. We can do. They don't have that. So they made these balls that don't deflate. There's kind of a foam inside. I don't know how it works. But we brought those with us, and we gave them out to kids that were there. And that sparked a great interest, and so much that they want to go back and do it again to Haiti. And they're going to be setting up another trip. And hopefully maybe some of the kids here can be involved with going down there, because they come back with such energy and excitement about being used for God that they want to share. And they want to tell you everything that they've done. It's interesting how things work. We wanted them, these kids, to come to our meeting to share so that we could bring new youth and things on the council to keep missions alive and well on the district. But God had other plans. He didn't want us to continue doing things the way we'd always done them. And now we're struggling. How do we get more kids? And how do we get more and more? And I've got such a deep desire to bring more young people on, to let them know that when they've given their heart to God and they've asked, Lord, what can I do now for you, that we can provide them a place where they can express their creative abilities and the visions that they receive from God. And we can do things like we've never done them before. That's missions. We've just started having mission services again in the Lester Church. We said on the third Sunday night of every month at 6 p.m. we're going to meet here for missions, but it's not going to be a missions like you've ever seen it before. And they came for the first time, and I showed them the first five areas of impact in the church and prayer. And I said, this year we're going to be involved. We're going to go on a missions trip, whether it be for down to Fawn Grove or Sun Valley Indian School, or if we're going to go outside of the country, I don't know. But we want at least one trip of involvement. Let's all put it together. This is going to be because it's your church, I want all of you involved. And so that's the direction we're going. The next month when we met, I said, you guys all love to eat. I know you do. So we're going to have a barbecue. And come at 5 o'clock, we're going to cook up a few hot dogs and we're going to have some. Then we'll have maybe 20, 30 minutes for a little bit of a lesson. And we did that. And we started to expand a little bit. I don't know where God's going to take this. But we did it not because that's the way we used to do it. We did it because God said, let's do it. There's a difference. And we're learning about missions a whole new way. It seems like the same, but it's not. Because the pastor began on his knees. Lord, what do you want? I love what you've done with all this. Recently, I was down to the Pawtucket Ambassadors Church. I walked in, and the whole church was dark, except a white cross up in the front. They had the worship team, and they were practicing their music. And I sat on that side of the church for the first service. They had two services, one in English and the other, second one in Portuguese. I sat over on this side and listened for the first service and got involved and got blessed and everything. And then I had to go sit on that side for the second service, mainly because on that side, this ear had really gotten damaged. And so I had to go on that side so I could hear equally. It was so loud. And when I first sat in there, I said, this almost has a nightclub atmosphere. It's dark. And the lights were there. And this isn't the church I know. And I asked, and I was told there was one man there who's been taught how to do stage design. And he changes it almost every single month. And I started to look at it again, and I started to see the love coming out. And when the congregation met, they just were so humble. They got a chance. And that afternoon, I went over to the Pawtucket Emmanuel Philadelphia Church, another Portuguese church. And they showed a more of the traditional style. And you know what I saw? I saw the love of God. There's no right or wrong way to worship God as long as you are experiencing and just expressing your love, His love, and letting the love of God run through you. Missions is changing. And what Jamie needs for you to do missions effectively, first, she needs your prayer support. Second, when she comes to you with a crazy idea, she might want to take John White's hair and make it purple. Sorry, John. You might think I'm kidding, but I'm not. Are you that open to God where He's asking of you to do something crazy, something you never think you'd do? I don't know what it was like up in heaven when God had this scroll that needed to be opened and no one in heaven could open it except Jesus. And on that scroll was to fulfill the plan of salvation, was to come and be nailed on a cross. Nothing like that had ever been done before. But Jesus trusted His Father and did what He was asked to do. What's God asking of you? What's God asking of you? To continue to do just church the way that we've always done it? I don't want to be critical here, but a lot of times I think people have just come to pay their premiums on their fire insurance. But God wants 100% of who you are to do whatever He wants to do. Are you willing? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning, there's a great challenge, and I don't know what you're going to do. But you've got a church here that meets every single week, and I can sense the presence of God when I come in here, and He's speaking to hearts, and He's speaking to minds. People are responding. But we have a young lady here we need to lift to you in prayer that wants to do missions effectively the way that you want. And I praise this church for electing her to such a position. You know, and a lot of people know what she does on the internet, and it's different. Father, we have a generation out there that is just reluctant and resistant of church, reluctant to come and see what it's all about, resistant because of what they've heard. How do we reach people in this day and age? And you have laid such a challenge on us that we can't possibly know the answer. How are we to do it? This is our mission. This is Nazarene Missions, to reach the people that need you. How do we do it? The ways of the 40s and 50s don't work anymore, Father. How do we take the next step? I pray, Father, that you would give Jamie a vision. I pray that you would also give some other young people a vision here of how they can use their talents and abilities to serve a holy God and be blessed at the same time because they've said yes to doing God's work. I pray for them right now that you would just instruct them. I pray for the older parts of the congregation, Father, that they would be receptive to whatever visions and challenges that you put within the young people. I pray that some of the older people receive visions and challenges as well to just say, we're going to grow this church. We might not have a pastor right now, but we have you, Father. And in reality, you're the one that gives us the word of God. You've lived it. So, Father, today I want to really pray for this church. I want to pray for not just Jamie, but everyone here. That you would lead us all. Lead on, O King Eternal. Give you praise for what you're going to do. Because there's a great revival coming. In Jesus' name, amen.